In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our Old Testament reading from Proverbs chapter 8. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you were creating a time capsule to place in the cornerstone of the church, what would you put into the capsule? Why would you put that there? When we built Holy Cross's new building back in 1997, we placed a time capsule in our cornerstone. In the capsule, among other things, is an English Bible, a German hymnal, and a magazine with local events spanning from Lidgerwood throughout North Dakota, and national events from North Dakota to New York to Texas and California and everywhere in between. In these three things, you have a picture of God's work among and through his people. The word of God, the words of his people, and the words spreading throughout the world. The English Bible, the word of God, by which God proclaims his saving work in Jesus Christ and brings salvation to all people, especially us in Lidgerwood. The German hymnal, the words of the people, our hymn book, by which we rejoice and we sing praises to our God. And the magazine, the word spreading throughout the world, a glimpse of the world out there where God calls his people to work in their vocations and proclaim his saving work in Jesus Christ. With these small objects, those who laid the cornerstone offered a prayer for the future. In this cornerstone was buried a prayer that the people in Lidgerwood would continue to hear God's word, to lift up their voice and sing the praises of God who has called us out of darkness into the marvelous light of his salvation, and then to step out of these church doors and proclaim that saving word out there in the world. In our Old Testament reading for this morning, we do not have a time capsule with objects in it, but we do have a rare glimpse of creation. And what was there when the earth's foundation was being laid? Most of us, I would say, are familiar with the account of Genesis 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void. Darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. And God said, "Let there be." That is, out of nothing, God brought all things into being by the power of his word. We know it. We're familiar with it. But what is particularly beautiful about our text from Proverbs 8 this morning is that it offers a rare glimpse of something more. A glimpse of God. God before his work of creation. And what we see when we read Proverbs 8 is delight. God's delight. Before the world began, God was rejoicing. And this delight, God's delight, is the beginning of the story of our salvation. What was God delighting in? The answer is found in verse 30 and 31. The Lord was delighting in wisdom, and wisdom was delighting in the people God made to inhabit the world. The Lord was delighting in wisdom. Jews demand signs, Greeks seek wisdom, St. Paul says. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, falling to the Gentiles. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. By him, all things were made in heaven and on earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that has been made. Before creation, Jesus, the true wisdom of God, the Word, was with the Father. He was with the Father before the world was created, and the Father delighted in true wisdom, in Jesus. And true wisdom rejoiced before the Father. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. Let there be. And with that, the world itself was created in exuberance and in great joy. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all working together to bring all things into being. And God saw that everything He had made was good, and behold, He declared it was very good. This delight, God's delight, it spreads from God to His creation. Verse 31 of our text, Jesus is seen rejoicing in His inhabited world and delighting in the children of men. Did you catch that? Before the world began, Jesus was filled with delight for all people. He was filled with delight even though He knew what was going to happen. Even though He knew we were going to fall into sin. Even though He knew that the wickedness of man would be great in all the earth, and that every intention and thought of his heart would only be continually evil. Even though He knew that the heart of man would be deceitful and desperately sick. Even though He knew that Israel would idolatrously build a golden calf, that they would burn their firstborn children alive on the altars of Dagon, Molech, and Shemesh, and that they would whore after Baal and Asherah by engaging in adulterous intercourse with cult prostitutes. Even though He knew that you, that me, that we would revel in the works of the flesh, lust and fornication and cohabitation, adultery, self-gratification, hatred, jealousy, fits of anger, verbal abuse, domestic violence, gossip, slander, drunkenness, lying, pride and arrogance. Even before all of that, before the world began, Jesus was filled with delight for all people. I did not say that Jesus delighted in your sin. Proverbs 6 declares that God hates sin. It is an abomination to Him. That is why He sent the flood. That is why He put to death 3,000 people who worshiped the golden calf at the base of Mount Sinai. That is why Israel and Judah went into slavery in the first place. All because a sinner cannot see the face of God and live. And the wages of sin, that stench in the nostril of God, is death. No, I did not say that Jesus delighted in your sin. I said He was filled with delight for all people. You see, God does not desire the death of a sinner, but that all would turn to Him and live. Jesus was filled with delight because He knew that He would come to save these, His people, from our sins, and to restore His creation to the beauty and majesty and splendor of our God. If you were to go back to the foundation of the world and recover a time capsule, in that time capsule, you would have the delight of God. God the Father has delight in His Son, Jesus. And Jesus, the true wisdom of God, has delight in all people, even you. God's story of our salvation begins with this delight of God. It shows us the heart of our God. Our God who is for us and not against us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And that Son, this Jesus, gave his only body and his only blood and his only life on the cross in love for you. God showed his love for you in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And what's more, God has sent his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into our hearts in baptism so that you are no longer a slave but a son who cries out, Abba, Father. All of this because God does not delight in the death of a sinner. His delight is in his people, in you, that they would turn in repentance to him and live. Just so, I tell you, Jesus says, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. How much joy in heaven is there today over each and every one of you who are gathered in repentance and faith in the name of our Lord Jesus? How much delight our Lord has in each of you, his people, you who are marked with a cross on your forehead and on your heart, you who are bought with his own lifeblood. Opening the time capsule from Proverbs, it shows us this. And it causes us to sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. It causes us to give thanks to God for his delight in Jesus Christ, who would not only create us, but in wisdom came in love to save us. You know, the funny thing about reading through the book of Proverbs is that you read it and you read it to try to gain wisdom, right? That's how most people approach it. We look at a short saying after short saying after short saying and ask, what will this teach me? And what can I learn about how to walk in the way of the Lord? But what is so utterly amazing about Proverbs 8 is that it never speaks of wisdom in this way. It doesn't say anything about us pursuing God. No, instead, we come across words about God pursuing us. Wisdom goes to the crowded places, the crossroads, and the gates of the front town. And it calls to all people and sings of God's delight. Before we ever pursue God, God pursues us. Before we ever delight in God, God is already delighting in one sinner, in you who repents. Thus, our salvation begins and ends in the delight of our God. This is also what you see when you open up the time capsule of Psalm 23. Do you remember how that famous psalm ends? At the end of Psalm 23, David, he looks to the future and he says this about God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word for follow in the Hebrew, yirdefuni, means to pursue. Because of Christ, God will pursue us with goodness and with mercy all the days of our life. You see, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Proverbs 8, it takes us to the beginning of time to see God's delight so that we can faithfully fix our eyes upon Jesus, yearn for the day of his return. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, and know that as we wait, he will pursue us all the days of our life until we are at long last dwelling in the house of our Lord forever. Amen.